Good afternoon, it's 3 o'clock and you are tuned to KTOO News in Juneau here on Monday the 25th of July, the year 2011. Jeff Brown with you here on a Juneau afternoon. Today we'll talk to Nate Sobolev and Munish Sika, visiting scholar, about his intern work at Sea Alaska on environmental change and management. Alexander Jaleski will be here with a preview of October's Festival of Russian Culture. We'll also hear the Writer's Almanac, Bird Known Music, and more today on a Juneau afternoon. The forecast for tonight looks like more rain with low temperatures around 51 degrees, southeast winds to 10 miles per hour in the evening, becoming light and variable. Forecast for Tuesday looks like more rain with high temperatures around 55 degrees. Tuesday night, rain with low temperatures around 50 degrees. Forecast for Wednesday, rain likely. Looks like rain is likely for the rest of the week.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. A Stillwater Paiute artist says he's fighting for his sovereign right to gather cattails to make traditional duck decoys. As Willie Albright reports, that the artist was in court last week protesting an $800 fine.
Noted traditional artist Wesley Dick was cited and fined in May by a U.S. Fish and Wildlife agent for gathering tule without a permit and for being on restricted land. A member of the federally recognized Fallon Paiute Shoshone tribe, Dick says he doesn't need a permit to gather on tribal land. He filed a lawsuit against the government. Dick personally took his complaint to a tribal court in Tacoma, Washington last week. That court declared Dick's First Amendment right to freedom of religion was being denied. Dick says it's about time the federal government recognizes his people's sovereignty.
My freezer in my home is empty of wild meat, and for me to get told I have to get a permit to pick my traditional foods and my plants, it's ridiculous.
A federal court judge in Reno ruled to dismiss the illegal gathering charge but set an October trial date on the trespassing charge. If the court rules against him, Dick says he'll appeal to a higher court. Dick says a win in court would be a win for indigenous people's rights everywhere. For National Native News, I'm Willie Albright in Reno, Nevada.
In Alaska, a youth leadership and suicide prevention program close to shutting its doors can stay open thanks to a recent donation. Heather Arono has more.
A youth leadership and suicide prevention program in rural Alaska can stay alive after a grant of $1.25 million was donated by the Teck Mining Company. The donation was made in the name of Iditarod champion John Baker, who has made his own contributions to the program alongside friends and family members.
Anytime there's any suicide, then it's going to be and should be a really issue that we all need to face. So, big or small, we need to face it as directly as we possibly can.
The Northwest Arctic Borough School District went from having one of the highest suicide rates in Alaska to zero suicides in the last school year. Michelle Woods, Youth Leaders Program Coordinator, says the program was in danger of closing after federal funding for it ended last year.
The fact that we're funded for 5 years, that means that we're alive. Our kids are going to continue saving lives out there. It's huge. Without it, we would be dead in the water, literally.
Due to the problems of retaining teachers in the bush, the program coordinators decided to focus their resources on people who would stick around. Woods says now youth who have gone through the training can mentor younger members of the community. The $1.25 million grant will be doled out over the next 5 years. In Anchorage, this is Heather Arono.
Washington tribes, Canadian First Nations, and scientists have partnered for the fourth year on the Salish Sea Tribal Journey Water Quality Study. The U.S. Geological Survey has deployed scientific equipment on five of the more than 100 canoes taking part in the annual canoe journey. Participants travel by canoe to the host tribe to celebrate salmon, water, and one another. Canoe paddlers and scientists are collecting data and integrating indigenous knowledge to improve the understanding of the Salish Sea, to increase awareness of ecosystem issues, conservation, and stewardship. Canoes from as far away as Hawaii and New Zealand are expected to start landing on the shores of the Swinomish Reservation in Washington today. During this month in 1987, the Head Smashed in Buffalo Jump Interpretive Center opened in Alberta, Canada. The site's considered to be one of the oldest and largest preserved buffalo jump sites, where Aboriginal people chased bison over the cliff and butchered them below. This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kawanic Broadcast Corporation.
with offices in Anchorage, Alaska. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, and the Ford Foundation. With additional funding from ConocoPhillips, Alaska's oil and gas company.
If you are a Native American who experienced discrimination from the USDA while trying to get a farm loan, you could get a payment of up to $50,000 or more. There will be meetings in locations around the country between July and December 2011 where you can get free legal help filing a claim. More details and a full schedule of meetings is available at IndianFarmClass.com or 1-888-233-5506.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
Time is 3:05 and you are tuned to KTOO News in Juneau here on a Juneau afternoon. Our guests in the studio are Nate Sobolev and also Manu Minish Sikka. Minish is a student in Oxford at the going through the Master's in Science course on environmental change and management. He's also interning at the Alaska for a month or so. And Minish and Nate, thank you very much for coming down the station today. Tell me a little bit about the course of study in general, Nate, if you could describe the program.
Well, Munish is here on an exchange visa to work on issues of climate change and renewable energy sector use of our forest. And this was a good opportunity brought to us through some partnerships we've had with Dr. Tom Thornton at the University of Oxford in England and the Sea Alaska Heritage Institute here at the Sea Alaska Plaza, and also dovetailing into our forestry work. And we're very excited to have Munish come visit us here at Alaska and look at some of our issues and be able to give us some good insight.
Munish, tell me a little bit about your background, if you could, please.
Hi. I have done a forest management course in India, and then I worked for a year and a half on the issues related to poverty of indigenous communities living in central parts of India and their participatory natural resource management groups. After that, I applied to Oxford with this 1.5 year experience, and I got into this course. So I've been studying this environmental change and management course for last 10 months. It's a 1 year degree course, and it contains a 3 month dissertation component. And I'm doing my dissertation in this Southeast Alaskan region with Sea Alaska Corporation as my host organization.
What kind of things are you studying?
Well, the course is very diverse in nature. So we have studied almost all the things that can be included in an environment profile, including legal frameworks, climate change science, policy, energy issues. So here I am looking at the prospects of developing a wood biomass market or industry in the Southeast Alaskan region by harvesting the local resource from the privately owned managed forest lands and converting it into renewable and carbon neutral energy source of wood pellets or wood briquettes.
Why did you choose this particular course of study?
Well, I'm quite interested in exploring the climate change and its relationship with the indigenous communities in particular. And Alaska as a site appeared to me as a possible place where I can learn something new related to the rights of the communities and the way the native corporations have been developing the profit and non-profit organizations, giving opportunities to the local people. And then maybe I can replicate this in other parts of the world, including India. So that's why I chose this site for my dissertation.
Can you give me a little bit more detail about the course of action you have here in Juneau?
Pardon?
Could you give me a little more of an idea about the course of action you're going to be taking here in Juneau?
Yeah, my ongoing dissertation work has two components. One is to look at the climate change impacts on the Tongass National Forest, for which I am relying on the secondary literature review and qualitative interviews with some of the experts working in this field here. And the second component is to look at the potential of developing an industry and what kind of institutional, technical, and financial support the Native Corporation requires from outside world, including the international climate groups and research networks.
What kind of comparison could you make against the environmental awareness in the United States and India and perhaps Alaska?
Well, I'll say environmental awareness is increasing in all the parts of the world. And there is more attention to the issues related to biodiversity loss, ecosystems, and renewable energy. And my background being the forestry one, I'll say the United States and India both have a good area under forest cover. And so they both have ample opportunities to develop and mitigate climate change through forest carbon sequestration. So this is one area where the two countries can actually collaborate and work together to develop markets for forest carbon.
What are some other areas?
Other areas, there are a lot of opportunities to work on ecosystem services of forest or developing clean technologies to mitigate the fossil fuel impacts, the carbon footprints of the industries or the individuals. So there are tremendous opportunities in this sector for the two countries to work together and develop expertise.
And you're in Juneau for about another month or so?
Yeah, I have arrived in Juneau on 13th of July, and I'll be staying here for almost a month till 15th of August. And I'll be collecting as much data as possible, meeting as many people as possible on this field and to know the place in general. And then I'll be going back to complete my ongoing course and dissertation report in Oxford.
All right, I've been talking to Munish Sika and also Nate Sobeloff about Munish's studies in as a Master of Science course in environmental change and management. Is there anything you'd like to add I might have forgotten to ask? Appreciate you coming by.
Thanks.
Juno. My name is Adrian Lopez, and I'll be hosting Focus on Community next Monday, July 25th from 7 to 8 p.m. here on KTOO News. Don't miss my interview with Alita Buss, chair of the Juno Commission on Sustainability, as we chat about the group's challenges and achievements to fulfill its mission of promoting Juno's economic, social, environmental, and governmental well-being for all its inhabitants. Make sure to tune in and be a part of the program. We'll see you there.
Anyone who's ever seen the New York Angel Dancers from Sitka, they're part of the Festival of Russian Culture, the fourth annual festival, which is coming up October 29th. In the studio to talk about it is Alexander Jelitsky. Alexander, thank you very much for being in the station with me today.
Yeah, thank you, Jeff.
So this is the fourth annual Festival of Russian Culture.
Yes.
How did the first one start out?
Well, we started, when was it? You were a master of the ceremonies. It was 4 years ago in Juneau. And we are funded by the Russian embassy, so we started, you know, the first festival in Juneau, and then the second one was in Juneau, and the last year was in Sitka.
And this year it's happening again in Juneau on October 29th.
Yeah.
Well, what was the reason for it to start in the first place?
Well, it's one of the program for the compatriots, you know, that's funded by the Russian embassy. So I was a part of the coordinating committee of this program as a delegate of the Russian Federation, and so I received the grant for the first year, and now for every year to organize this event.
Tell me about the organization Living Wisdom of the Far North.
I'm sorry?
Tell me about the organization Living Wisdom of the Far North.
In the far north, the Living Wisdom of the Far North. Well, this year, because the festival will be in October of 29th, so we titled this festival Living Wisdom of the Far North instead of White Nights. It was in the last 3 years we had the White Nights Festival during the summertime. Living Wisdom of the Far North is the Tales and Legends from Chukotka and Alaska is a forthcoming book of the 10 stories. So we titled this festival Living Wisdom of the Far North. So to the festival of the Russian culture in conjunction with art exhibit by Tamara Semyonova and Lee Rust.
Tell me about the entertainment and the art itself.
About the artist?
Mm-hmm.
Tamara Semyonova is an artist from St. Petersburg, and she is already a modern artist, like Mark Chagall, everything is flying. And she was one of the illustrators of the forthcoming edition. And Lee Rust is an artist from Victoria, Australia. He is one of the best wildlife artists in the world. So they work with me on this edition, and we decided to feature their art in during the festival.
And the music part of the festival?
The music, we are going to have New Archangel Dancers from Sitka. You know, it's Sitnik is Russian folk music. It's an instrumental ensemble. We also are going to have Tatiana Scott. She's from Sacramento. She's a pianist, classical music. And this year will be Kaitlyn Wayne from Juno Opera. So she will perform together with Tatiana Scott, and Tatiana Scott will do her own solo performances.
This is happening Sunday, October 29th at 4 o'clock at Centennial Hall in Juno. But we're still just getting geared up for it. What kind of work goes into producing an event like this?
What kind of work is involved? Well, of course, the first year was the most difficult year because it was something new for me and for us. And now we just know what to do, you know, just to rent the place, to coordinate that people trips to Juno and to create a program. So it's just basic organizational matters work.
And this is free, but donations are suggested to the Living Wisdom of the Far North?
It is going to be a free event, as in the past, and we will be happy to accept donations, since it is an expensive event. And the year before, this festival was like 8 hours or 9 hours, if you remember, and it was very, very long, because we had more money, so we could invite more artists to perform. This year it will be significantly shorter, and it's going to be from 4 to 6 p.m. on October 29th, and it will be tight and shorter. And also the art exhibit will be featured at Centennial, so it will stay longer, maybe for a month or two, you know, so people can come to visit and enjoy the art.
All right, Alexander Dulitsky, thank you very much for coming down and talking about the 4th Annual Festival of Russian Culture. Anything you'd like to add I might have forgotten to ask?
Well, my pleasure. And I just want to add that it is sponsored, you know, by Russian Embassy in D.C., you know, the last 4 years, and the Minister of Foreign Affairs, and of course, the Juno businesses like Alaska Lito or Art Matters and the Centennial Hall and City Board of Juno, they support this event, and we appreciate it.
As long as I got you in the studio, could you tell me about your new book coming out?
Well, the new book is Living Wisdom of the Far North, Tales and Legends from Chukotka and Alaska. It will be a similar book to The Spirit of the Siberian Tiger, the folk tales of the Russian Far East. But this time, we commissioned two artists, Tamara Semyonova and Lee Rust. And, of course, I worked with them for 5 months in order to provide them with sufficient information for them to produce, you know, these illustrations for the stories. There will be 4 Chukchi stories, 4 Siberian Yupik Eskimos, and 2 literary stories that I wrote. And there will be 47 color illustrations in the book, so it will be very well-presented edition.
Was it difficult finding the stories, or are they fairly well-known stories?
Well, the stories I edited in the past. You know, I edited about 300 stories on my early editions, but they were kind of more academic editions, like a Brother Grimm's first edition. And was it difficult to select appropriate stories for the broader audience, because you want a story that nobody kills anyone, you know, so they're not that belligerent. And these stories, they are short, and they were very clear morale at the end. So I think that they will be more appropriate for the broader audience, for those who is interested in the folklore, or for the students of language arts in high school or middle school.
And you're still in the process of finalizing the illustrations?
Well, the illustrations are done. You know, they're completely done. They're scanned, you know, they design, you know, already done. And basically, I work with a printing company, and the book is going to be printed in China on the colors, you know, so I received the digital proof, so now it's a press proof, so this type of procedures.
And the book will come out how many months from now?
Well, if everything goes as we plan, you know, and I suspect sometime end of September, mid-October, so it could be just for this festival, and the book may come out as well.
Well, Alexander Dulitsky, thank you for coming by the station. We'll have you back in the station again to talk about the Festival of Russian Culture as the time gets closer, and also about your book.
Mm-hmm, my pleasure.
Here's a little bit of music from the Sitnik, from Sitka.
Writer's Almanac for Monday, July the 25th, 2011. It was on this date, 2000, the Concorde crashed outside Paris, killing 109 persons aboard. One of the tires burst, the debris struck a fuel tank, and the plane burst into flames. It was the world's first supersonic commercial passenger plane, traveled twice the speed of sound, never made any money, it cost so much to develop. It was noisy, expensive to operate, and they stopped flying it altogether in 2003. It's the anniversary of the first successful demonstration of a commercial electric telegraph, 1837. Early attempts were not encouraging. There was a German design, used separate wires for each letter of the alphabet and each numeral. The wires submerged in glass tubes filled with acid, and you had to watch which tube bubbled. Another design worked over longer distances, but it was slow. It transmitted two letters per minute. The one in 1837 in England had six wires, five needle pointers, and it was used by the Great Western Railway over a 13-mile stretch from Paddington Station to West Drayton. Dean Martin, Jerry Lewis debuted at Atlantic City's 500 Club on this day in 1946. Martin, the singer, Lewis, the comedian. They had two shows that night. The first one was scripted, and it was terrible. For the second show, they went for broke, did the whole thing off the cuff. They heckled each other, broke dishes, did slapstick. They played to each other, they ignored the audience, and people loved it. It was on this day, 1956, the SS Andrea Doria, an Italian liner, sank off of Nantucket Island after a collision with the SS Stockholm, 11 in the evening, traveling in a fog bank. The crew of the Andrea Doria took the first three lifeboats off the sinking ship, but the Stockholm came to the rescue of the passengers and a French liner, the Ile-de-France, and only 46 people died. And it's the birthday of Louise Brown, the first baby conceived via in vitro insemination, Great Britain, 1978, the town of Oldham. She was followed 4 years later by her sister Natalie, also conceived by in vitro. She had blonde hair and blue eyes, and she weighed 5 pounds, 12 ounces. And Natalie was the first one of the in vitro babies to have a baby herself, which she did in 1999. Here's a poem for today by Ellen Bass, Phone Therapy. I was relief once for a doctor on vacation and got a call from a man on a windowsill. This was New York, a dozen stories up. He was going to kill himself, he said. I said everything I could think of. And when nothing worked, when the guy was still determined to slide out that window and smash his delicate skull on the indifferent sidewalk, do you think, I asked, you could just postpone it until Monday when Dr. Lewis gets back? The cord that connected us, strung under the dirty streets, the pizza parlors, taxis, women in sneakers carrying their high heels, drunks lying in piss. That thick, coiled wire waited for the waves of sound. In the silence, I could feel the air slip in and out of his lungs, and the moment when the motion reversed, like a goldfish making the turn at the glass end of its tank, I matched my breath to his, slid into the water, and swam with him. Okay, he agreed. Phone Therapy by Ellen Bass. From Mules of Love, published by Boa Editions Limited, used by permission here on the Writer's Almanac. Supported by LendingTree, providing up to 4 loan offers from a network of lenders. Learn more at LendingTree.com or 1-800-555-8733. Produced by Kathy Roach, written by Holly Vanderhaar. Be well, do good work, and keep in touch.
A Every year, thousands of foreigners apply for asylum in the United States. Suketu Mehta has written about one of them.
She was told that in order to present a compelling narrative to the asylum officers, it would be better if she said that she had been raped.
For a chance at a better life, she was willing to lie. That story later on All Things Considered from NPR News.
Want to have a summer love affair?
Come to Haines July 28th through 31st and let the Southeast Alaska State Fair woo you with exciting exhibits, contests, and concerts. Enticing food vendors, great shopping, and fantastic entertainment will curl your toes. Thrill to the antics of puppeteers and performers. Check out homegrown superstars at the Southeast Got Talent Contest. Your heart will race at the logging show, the fisherman's rodeo, horseshoe and disc golf tournaments, and carnival rides. You and the Southeast Alaska State Fair are a match made in heaven. To find out more, visit seacfair.org.
Some more music from the Southeast Alaska State Fair lineup, Curtis Salgado.
This is Bird Note. In the blink of an eye, a bird of prey plummets to the ground, pinning an unwary mouse. A moment later, it flies off, clasping its prey in its feet. A familiar drama we expect of a hawk or falcon, or after dark, an owl. But this bird of prey is a songbird, a bit smaller even than a robin. It's a loggerhead shrike. Silver gray with black wings and a vivid black mask across the eyes, shrikes look like bandits. This impression's reinforced by the shrike's large head and hooked bill. Male shrikes are well known for impaling their prey on thorns, creating a larder that may help impress potential mates with their hunting prowess. Loggerhead shrikes are found across much of the United States in open country, like pasture and sagebrush. But pesticides and the loss of habitat to residential and commercial uses have reduced shrike populations. Conservation efforts are underway, such as allowing brush to grow along fence lines and leaving small trees and shrubs on the roadside. Reducing or eliminating the use of pesticides can also help sustain this tough customer among the songbirds. To learn more, come to our website, birdnote.org. Today's show brought to you by the Lufkin Family Foundation. I'm Michael Stein.
Aujourd'hui, jour de l'an, guélant la mange aux malheurettes. Aujourd'hui, jour de l'an, il faut changer de maîtresse. Et changera à qui voudra guélant la mange aux malheurettes. Et changera.
Dance.
tresse, mon Dieu. Mais moi, change pas dans mes tresses.
Nicole Edwards, one of the many performers appearing at the Southeast Alaska State Fair, is coming up the 28th of July through the 31st.
I am spirit of you.
I am spirit of you.
I am spirit of you.
I am a leader.
Volunteer.
I give back to my community.
Alter, I am
spirit of you.
I am spirit of you.
I am spirit of you.
Here's my story. Here are our stories.
If you've been to Europe, you may have ridden the TGV. That's what France's high-speed train system is called. And if you live in Anchorage, you may have seen the TGV. Not at the rail station, but up on a stage. Alaska's TGV is a folk music band made up of four middle school-aged girls.
Hi, my name's Jana, 14.
And where do you go to school?
Roaming.
Hi, my name's Irene, and I'm 14, and I go to Goldview.
I'm Willow, and I'm 14, and I go to Polaris.
My name's Erin, and I'm 14, and I go to the Aurora Waldorf School.
While they may not go to school together every day, they do get together regularly to play. TGV has been a group for about 2.5 years now. Today, they're practicing at their mentor, Mary Schellert's house. Mary's put together a number of successful youth music groups. She says the young people she knows respond better to being in a band than they do to conventional music lessons.
This seems to be more meaningful because they're basically running it themselves. They're managing themselves. They're finding their own gigs. I mean, I mentor them, but the hope is that eventually they're finding their own material. They're deciding what they play and how they play it.
Bass player Irene and guitarist Willow say their goal as a band is simple.
To get better. I mean, if people like us, I guess that means we're okay.
I'm Shanna Sheehy.
I am a teenager.
I am an Alaskan. I give back.
Do you see me? Recognize youth, ages 12 to 19, at spiritofyouth.org.
Provided by the Alaska State Division of Behavioral Health.
Thank you.
Daring and Down performing this next weekend at the Southeast Alaska State Fair, the 28th through the 31st of July.
I drink my soda, she drinks ginger cola. I dance the polka, she danced the hula. I take her walking, she does the talking. Moon is the shining, my heart is pining. She says, oh Johnny, don't try to tease me. Oh no, no Johnny, you may not squeeze me. Julida, Julida, you are my honey.
Julida, Julida,
I have lots of money.
Windy Valley Boys performing at the Southeast Alaska State Fair this weekend. If you're not going, you're going to miss a great time. You're tuned to KTOO in Juneau. We broadcast at 104.3 FM in downtown Juneau and Douglas. KTOO also broadcasts on these translators. In the Valley and Ock Bay area, tune to K276 AF at 103.1. In Lemon and Schweitzer Creek, K269 AO at 101.7. Gustavus listens on K201 AM 88.1. K220 BT serves Huna at 91.9. In Excursion Inlet and Icy Strait here, KTOO on K210 AS 89.9. And in Juneau, you can also receive KTOO on GCI Cable Juneau on Digital Channel 871. We're also online at www.ktoo.org. Tomorrow at 3 on a Juneau afternoon, we'll get a preview of the film Smokin' Fish. Ken Fix will be here to highlight tomorrow night's film at the Planetarium, Them. And Amanda Compton will be here talking with Jamie Brussell about next week's Aquaman Triathlon. It's coming up tomorrow on a Juneau afternoon. The forecast for tonight, rain, low temperatures around 52 degrees. Forecast for Tuesday looks like more rain with high temperatures around 56 degrees. Tuesday night, rain, low temperatures around 50 degrees. And the forecast for Wednesday through the next Friday looks like rain.